Drama.
Fashion.
Podcast. And who are we?
That's one secret we'll never tell.
XOXO.
Girls Room.
Hey up, Eastsiders. Girls Room here. The one and only podcast about the scandalous lives of Manhattan's elite. I'm Julia Gray. I have my co-host with me, the incredible Drew Haskins.
Good evening.
And we have a fellow New Yorker and crisis twink fan favorite, Mike Leo, with us in the studio, in the Zoom room. How's it going?
Hi, thank you guys so much for having me.
What a thrill to have you on. For the people who migrated over from Crisis Twink when we started Girls Room, you obviously know Mike, a multiple time guest, a cultural critic, a genius, a scholar, a teacher, a leader, a mentor, a role model, to quote the great Alyssa Edwards. What a thrill. What a thrill to have you.
It's always a pleasure to be here and so excited to be participating in this new format.
Yay. It is a new format. I can't say the same about the Girls rewatch, but I haven't seen another Gossip Girl rewatch pod. I really feel like we need to spread the good word.
Yeah. I was doing grassroots marketing this weekend. Yeah, so in a rare and shocking turn of events, I was in New York this weekend for once. And not only did I visit Greenpoint, the site of many of the escapades on Girls, but I stayed on the Upper East Side and had my own Gossip Girl moment. Oh my God.
I didn't even think about it like that. You stayed in our two landmarks.
You did some boots on the ground reporting.
I did. My brother lives in Upper East Side, and I had kind of seen the vibe there before. He definitely lives in a little bit more of a corporate sweet greeny part of Upper East Side, but I was feeling the fantasy nonetheless. But I have to say, I have been to some of the world's most beautiful places. I've seen Madrid, I've seen the tropical rainforests of Puerto Rico, and so many other places. There is nowhere on earth more beautiful than Greenpoint, Brooklyn.
Drew, I've been telling you, come to my country. I mean,
come to Brazil.
Come to Brazil. I've been singing its praises. But I didn't ask you this over text. I wanted to get your feelings, thoughts, explanations on air. Which Greenpoint are you talking about? Because there are two Greenpoints. There is a deep Greenpoint and there is a Williamsburg Greenpoint, and both are lovely and equal.
So I was at, hold please, I'm looking on the map right now because I spread so much misinformation on this podcast in general, but I have to be accurate this time. I do know
give me a few landmarks or restaurants you visited.
So I can tell you where we went for dinner. I went with also Crisis Twink fan favorite Hale McSherry to Le Gamet. It's a
Greenpoint.
It appears to be Greenpoint. It's across the street from the Brooklyn Expo Center at the corner of Franklin and Noble. It was very good food. Right around the corner from the Greenpoint Avenue stop. I had the time of my life. And it was beautiful. For all you Chicago listeners, it's very similar to Logan Square, though not nearly as scenic because there's no water in Logan Square except for the gutter. So,
thank you for making it so accessible for our Chicago listeners.
But I try. The easy route would have been to say LA, this is blank, but I'm not going to do that because that feels so low class in a way that I just don't feel like doing today.
I mean, I'm glad that you got to experience Greenpoint, as it were.
Yeah, it really, you know, I just have such an appreciation and a love for New York. And every time I go, I'm like, should I just do it? Should I move? And then I I hear how much everyone is paying in rent, and then I'm like, oh.
There are deals. There are deals. We can talk about it off air, but I do think that Greenpoint could be the place for you.
I think I could definitely plant my roots in Greenpoint and be pretty happy about it, because I did go to another part of Brooklyn, around a little building called the Barclays Center, that I found very, very much less fun.
Jarring.
Yeah. And I had been there before because I infamously saw Grimes at the Barclays Center, not in concert, sitting in front of me and my mother when we went to go see David Byrne do his Color Guard flag show in 2015.
Wait.
Back. I know, that was a big sentence. Yeah. I can literally see like the gears turning in people's heads, processing that information. So what part do I need to start with here?
Maybe just say the whole sentence again.
Okay.
I think that would help me as
Maybe
well.
Maybe I'll rephrase it in a way that might be more linear, because I do have to say I am both losing my voice and coming down with the cold, so I'm a little not myself tonight. So in 2015, I went to go see with my family David Byrne, the lead singer of the Talking Heads, do a Color Guard show, which, for people who might not know what Color Guard is when high schoolers twirl big flag for sports games and stuff. But David Byrne saw this kitschy piece of Americana and said, how can I kind of make fun of it, but also do something sort of sincere with it at the same time? So it was a really weird piece, and he performed the whole time, but St. Vincent, Nelly Furtado, Lucius, Dev Hines, and a bunch of other people were also performing. Very fun show. Not two rows in front of me and my family, though, was a pre-Art Angels Grimes. Just normal, in flannel, like not the techno fascist goddess that we know now.
Pre Elon Musk, pre
everything. I mean, she
Karl Marx.
Pre Karl Marx. Like, this was just the immediate aftermath of like Oblivion, like, to situate people. Like, she hadn't done a lot of the stuff that we know, like, even musically, like, she was still pretty fresh out the gate. But that was the only time I'd been to the Barclays Center prior to this. And I didn't find it especially appealing then, and I definitely didn't this time.
No, it's not. That's not what you want to see when you think Brooklyn.
No, it very much was a crunch gym part of Brooklyn. And I'm familiar with that game already. I didn't need to see it elsewhere.
Like, I'd love to hear about your relationship with Gossip Girl. Amazing.
That was a beautiful transition.
Everyone, like, shut up, Drew.
No.
I just, the last thought I had.
Go ahead.
The last thought I had on that was just, what was your, how are you perceiving Grimes' viewpoint on the performance? Like, was she enjoying?
I think she was amused and entertained.
Great, as we all are in the past. Yes. Mr. Byrne.
Yeah, dazzled by the mystery.
My relationship with Gossip Girl happened in high school, towards the end of high school. I never, like, watched it while I was premiering, but in high school, I just decided it was time. I'd, like, always heard about it. It seemed like clips here and there, and I decided enough was enough. Let's get into it. And the rest was history. I watched it all, like, very quickly in like a couple of months, and then I actually was realizing when I was rewatching this episode that I don't really think I've watched it too much since then. I've seen like the occasional episode here or there, but like I've never done another full rewatch of it, which that all might change after this moment.
That's validating to hear. You're also, interestingly, I think the first guest we've had that binged it kind of after its moment. Mm-hmm. Which must be an interesting way to watch it, because at least when we were watching it live, the desire to immediately have a new episode was so strong because of how proficient this show is at cliffhangers, like this week's episode included. And to have to like sit and wait and just do the like water cooler talk with your friends. Like it would, we are kind of missing that in the streaming era, but yeah.
Yeah, I didn't so much have that like yearning experience because I would finish an episode and just immediately, despite needing to have gone to bed like 2 hours ago, I would be like, surely there's time for at least one more.
So a question we ask all of our guests is, which Gossip Girl are you?
That's a tough one. So I'm just taking a moment.
Take it all in.
Thank you. Oh, I think it, I really do think it depends on the day. Honestly, a little bit of Vanessa, like just a little bit there. Like,
my God.
No, this is crazy, but like, let me stay with me. Yeah, just like, kind of like, she's not so much a main character to the show. Like, she's obviously important, but she's not like a super integral part of the story. And that's kind of how I don't know. I just like find myself like floating in and out of things a bit. And she's just such like a little quirk ball.
I think that's really powerful to see yourself as a supporting character. I mean, this world is filled with too many people thinking they're, to use an overused term, the main character.
Right.
And too many people, I don't know, thinking the world revolves around them, and to meet a Vanessa, to meet a supporting character is really, it's powerful. It's not of this time in a good way.
I also feel like they're all just so, like, all the main characters are just so deeply flawed in so many ways that it's almost equally as difficult to pick one of them to want to relate to, like saying you're a Serena or like a Blair. Like, we might want to get you into some sort of medical treatment in that situation.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you call the doctor then, because we do self-identify as myself. This week I feel fully comfortable saying a Blair Serena hybrid, but Julia is like a straight up Blair.
I'm a Blair. I mean, you know, it's not a one-to-one match.
Right.
But I tend towards a Blair affect at times, and I just think she's fierce. I love her.
Yeah.
No, I can appreciate that. I also, like, maybe ask me again at the end of the episode, and I might have mulled over some other.
I'm so intrigued by this Vanessa answer, and it is prompting another paradigm shifting question. Which Gossip Girl aren't you? Who is your like oppositional enemy?
Interesting.
That's the best question you've ever asked. How aren't you? Oh my God. I mean, my answer is quickly Serena, 100%, but we already knew that.
Yeah, I feel like I'd have to say either like Serena or Chuck, which is like two different ways, but Chuck's just too like I can be mean at times, but I'm not like so like calculated and like I don't know, there's just something going on there. And then like Serena, I just like, she's just not smart.
she's not very bright.
Just like at all.
The way I do find the way she just drifts through life, especially in this episode, I was just captivated. I find it so aspirational for some reason to just, you're the main character, but you're not doing anything and taking an active role in your life. Like, things are happening at you, and that is,
they're all good, and they're all mostly good.
Yeah, to be like a magnet for praise and have beautiful blonde hair, like, I mean, that is kind of the American dream.
It's kind of what Dakota Johnson's doing now.
Yes.
She saw Gossip Girl and she said, I know what I need to do.
I do believe that Dakota Johnson is smart, though.
Yes.
Very different energy, but I agree about the floating, you know. But
just not really caring. Just kind of avoid.
Two sleepy women making it work for them.
Different, but different strains of sleepy. I I will say Serena's hair was so powerful in this episode, picking up her blonde locks. But
She, to borrow a phrase, really was looks maxing hard. So, like, she was like the most, like, the like platonic ideal of like Serena Vanderwoods in this episode.
yeah, no, that's very true. She had so many, I mean, we'll get to it later, but she had so many funny Serena moments.
She
One in
did.
particular that made me laugh out loud, stop, rewind, laugh again.
So another question we ask everyone, a normal non-paradigm shifting question, is who is your Gossip Girl boyfriend? And I feel like I do have an answer. I feel like I know who your answer is for this.
Do you want to say who you think mine is first?
I feel like it's Dan.
Oh no, I was gonna say Nate.
Whoa. Okay,
I've
that
been
is.
a I've been an Arches stan since day one.
Archibay.
Wow.
An Archiballer. I've just there's something about his like vibe, and that's also why I could never pick him as like who I am, because he needs to be that separate entity.
You're othering him.
Right.
Would we say that Nate is we're just using all the viral phrases in this episode. Would we call him a golden retriever boyfriend?
A little. Like he has a little air of that.
Sure. Maybe just
Yeah.
not upbeat, not a lot of life behind those eyes.
Yeah, I was gonna say I think he has the look down, but not the essential lightness. He's got the lights are off with the makeup, and they never really turn on this show, which is kind of one of the genius things that they do.
I would just really love to know what he's like in real life, and if it's this dim.
Yeah. I was with my brother's straight roommate's gay friends on Friday night
Back
for like
up,
15.
brother.
I know. See, I'm saying a lot of like diagrammable sentences today. My brother's straight roommate's gay friends were over to watch a basketball game when I got home from Greenpoint.
Okay.
And we were making small talk, and like we talked about Gossip Girl and Chase Crawford. I forgot that Chase Crawford dated Jessica Simpson. And I think
My
Tony
God.
Romo is at. Okay, no. This is what it is. Chase Crawford's sister is married to Tony Romo, who dated Jessica Simpson and was linked with Chase Crawford at some
So Chase Crawford never dated Jessica Simpson,
point.
though.
We're rumored to have dated either before or after Tony Romo married Candace Crawford.
That is something I've literally never heard.
Jessica Simpson was one of the messiest people in America for a good like 5 years, but it was always really harmless. And now she's like a shoe billionaire. That's a pretty good glow up, honestly.
Not a billionaire. There's no way.
Jessica Simpson is a billionaire.
What?
Yep. She is a billionaire because those shoes are everywhere.
She's not a billionaire. Despite popular belief, Simpson is not a billionaire. Despite her business ventures having generated billions of dollars in sales, she herself is not a billionaire.
Well, that seems like splitting hairs. That seems like they're trying to take a powerful business pitch down. I don't think this is okay. Call me misinformation, call me popular belief. Okay, that's all I have to say about this.
Well, a billionaire isn't always so much like an amount of money that you have in the bank. Sometimes it's just like the
Exactly. And she definitely has an aura of wealth. I was tickled this
Not a
past
billionaire, but
week.
Charlie,
Like,
I'm
may we
sorry.
all? I was really tickled this past weekend when everyone was listening to Cowboy Carter for the first time, and everyone was like, oh, Yaya samples Jessica Simpson. They meant like the Nancy Sinatra version of the boots. These boots are made for walking, but I
That
was crying that people thought that that was a Jessica Simpson original song.
is, you shouldn't admit that.
People
I
just
sing
love.
iconography. Yeah.
People just run with how they feel, and that becomes fact, such
Well, that's
as
how I. That's
Drew
such
saying that Jessica Simpson's a billionaire.
a. Exactly. It's vibes based. A billionaire is vibes based.
Source, I made it up.
Amazing.
I mean, it's popular belief.
Yes.
For sure. Do
I would like to know your guys' answer to your Gossip Girl partner.
you?
I don't remember mine. Oh, wait, no, I do remember mine. It's shamefully, it was when I was growing up watching the show Chuck. I thought he was really hot. And I had this thing where I always chose the least popular option in a I'm different kind of way. Like, I loved Kevin Jonas.
Whoa.
I loved the ugly Jonas. Sue me.
That's okay.
And yeah, no, I think honestly to this day, I think Chuck is kind of the sexiest.
I can get behind that.
You know, just he's got a.
I wrote down as I forgot how bad his haircut is in the first season.
You know
It's
what? really bad this season.
It works for me.
I will
Right.
say I did find his attitude sexy this episode, and we have come a long way since the pilot episode where he's,
Yeah.
or lest we forget, he does sexually assault two people in 15 minutes.
Right.
It's he was very sexy and emotionally available this episode. But
It was a new leaf for him.
He turned.
yeah, and I'm a Dan. I've predictably am a Dan stan, so. Oh well.
Oh well, he says. Should we move on to the episode?
Yes, I think we should.
Okay, I'll do a little recap of last week, catch everyone up. Last week, we witnessed the unraveling of Nate and Blair. Blair finally recognized Nate's enduring love for Serena and left his sorry ass alone and dealing with his coked up daddy. Chuck opened a burlesque club in a very 2007 Panic at the Disco sort of way, and Blair became a woman, performing a striptease at said speakeasy and losing her virginity to its founder, which is Chuck, if that wasn't clear. Also, Dan and Serena have sex surrounded by a bunch of candles, and Vanessa is finally confronted about her breaking and entering spree. And by confronted, I mean Dan just says, "We have a door, you know."
Oh
And
my God.
that's kind of all that happened.
Great recap. Great recap.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. I still am thinking about the fact that we just believed that this New York teenager opened up a burlesque club and convinced his dad that it was a profitable venture.
I mean, I heard Chuck ask, is a billionaire based off of Victrola alone, though?
And based off of vibes, Victrola and his billion-dollar shoe brand.
Right.
I would buy his shoes, probably.
Yeah, I bet they're like nice soft leather.
Yeah. Ooh, the softest leather. With those like embroidered little patches and the animals and
Or
stuff.
like the tassels.
Ooh.
Yeah. Oh my God.
It's got tassels.
They make a nice like thump thump when you walk.
Oh, see, this is. There's something so. I mean, I was going to say there's something so rich about Chuck, and I guess it's the fact that he is. There's
He's a known billionaire.
a. Should we start with Blair? I'm moving the. We should do Gossip Girl as a character last. We've been forgetting to do her.
Yeah. This week I feel like Gossip Girl really like started becoming the Gossip Girl that we know.
We know it.
Fully activated this week.
Yeah, I think, I mean, Blair had a. This week was all about Blair, and the episode is called 17 Candles. I guess, like, is it her 17th birthday? That's insane.
It is, yeah.
Insane. I mean, happy birthday to her, but she is, I don't know, crying on her birthday. And I feel really sad for her this week. We'll go through everything, but I gave her a D for despair.
Yeah, I gave her a D, not for anything, just her, she lost a lot this episode. She had a bad birthday. Like the breakup, which was official last episode, became more official this week. Though I kind of want to bump it up to a C because Chuck is so obviously her love connection, and like she just needs to lean in. And she had a nice end of birthday. But I think any birthday though that has that much Guitar Hero at it as a 17-year-old, I'm not sure about that. I'm just not sure.
It was hot at the time, but I
guess that's true.
It gave a C serve at the beginning of the episode.
A C for what? Sorry, you cut out a little.
So yeah, I think I'm hearing it too. Can I just disconnect and reconnect my headphones real quick?
Yeah, totally. We'll cut this out of the episode. Thanks to Riverside, editing a podcast is easy.
Okay, I think it's better now.
Yeah, you're all clear. Okay, what did you give Blair?
I said I gave Blair a C for confessional look serve.
That is
okay.
Yes.
He took to the church at the beginning of the episode in a funeral reminiscent kind of outfit, just to the nuns in black, ready to do her little confession for her birthday.
So good. I wrote that she was mourning the loss of her virginity. I just love this. This is iconic beginning to the episode that, you know, just an iconic episode in general. But I love, she starts out confessing at church. She's telling the priest about her sinful evening, wearing this amazing head-to-toe black kind of suit skirt situation with a little veil headband.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
It was very Jackie Kennedy.
Yes.
Oh yeah. And then she's like, when she goes out of the church, she was wearing these incredible kind of like lace up mules.
Mm-hmm.
And they looked so like, she looked like a rich like mob wife widow.
Yes.
It was so good. And like this whole interaction with the priest made me die. And I did transcribe her confession word for word for a later segment that we have. So we will get to that. But this priest was like kind of a bitch.
Yeah. He was a slut shaming prude. He told her to keep her clothes on and stop drinking. I guess what do you expect the priest to tell you? But
if my priest told me to keep my clothes on, I'd be like, meow. You're outrageous for that.
Nobody wants to have fun these days.
I've never done confession though, because I'm not a Catholic. So like these all seem kind of like fantastical to me. So like if a priest was like kind of a huge bitch to me, I guess I'd be like, yeah, sure, that makes sense. But
I always found the concept of confession really interesting, and I wanted to do it. I'm Jewish, but I was always fascinated by it, and I was like, oh, that would be cool. You know how like when you're little and you want braces for some reason? It was kind of in a similar way, where it was like, oh, I want to do confession, you know. Like I want to do my in a wooden booth
where you're like the main, it's like a fun source of attention, like it's kind of all ears on you.
Exactly.
You can say whatever you want, and the only consequence is getting like 15 Hail Marys. And not the one thing I did die at was her gaining her entire understanding of Catholicism from the Da Vinci Code. She makes a reference to like putting the thing with the teeth around her legs, like Silas. And I was like, Blair, like Blair's gonna give herself stigmata.
Blair, honest, everything she says is golden. Serena could never.
No, I'm really reevaluating my grade now too, because I like a C might even be too low. She was so funny and so on at this episode, but like the only thing that was bad was the Nate thing and the potentially insensitive birthday. Yes, you're right.
Really, we need to talk about that comes later, but
yeah.
I just remember watching this show, and I think even then I was like, oh, interesting choice. So she leaves church and is headed to put some items on hold at Tiffany's for her mother and Nate to buy for her. Love that. And Chuck rolls up in a limo and spooks her and basically threatens purring in his ear, and that, like, you know, he wants to tell Nate.
Oh my God.
And she says, sexy. And she says, delete the tape.
I have it written here. Well, erase the tape. That's another line that lives in my head. Just
like, God.
She's so funny.
She's so funny.
Okay, another line that I can't even understand and lives in my head because of how I think this was another one that was played in the Last Week Ons, but Blair uninvites him to her birthday party and Chuck says, never stopped me before. What, does anyone know what that means?
I think we're led to believe that he's constantly breaking into birthday parties and crashing them.
Okay, that was what I thought. So he is saying that's never stopped me before.
And
yeah. As he says,
I think he did say never stopped me before and didn't articulate, which is bizarre.
Maybe he forgot the line.
He just didn't redo it.
Never stopped me before.
We're just led to believe that he's constantly breaking into birthday parties and other celebratory events all throughout.
I mean, everyone on this show is constantly breaking and entering into places, like between Jenny, Vanessa, and like Chuck's baseline crime activity once again is sexual assault. Like breaking and entering seems like child's play for old Chuck.
Never stopped me before. Anyway, Blair wants Nate back, and she's home with her mom, and Eleanor shows her the papers, which show his embezzlement and fraud. I have to point out, Drew, your quote of the week last week, or line read of the week, was Anne, I think her name's Anne,
mm-hmm.
Archibald, Nate's mom, saying embezzlement and fraud. And Eleanor does the exact same line read. She says it in the exact same page. What is that about?
I mean, it's kind of hard to say that combo of words any other way, because fraud is just like the icing on the cake when you're starting with embezzlement.
It's embezzlement and like embezzlement, period, and fraud, all caps.
Yeah. As if one wasn't enough. Can you believe that he did both? Like, wah, wah.
But wait, there's more.
Exactly. We need to do like a, that'll be our next TikTok, is a side by side of those two readings. Because I mean, as a Gossip Girl historian, that is impossible to ignore.
Yeah. I really like these Blair Serena bedroom scenes too, where Serena is always lying down. She's like underneath all the blankets, like, splayed out with the pillows, and she's just giving Blair really generic advice.
Yeah, like, she loves
talk to him.
It's cute, it's sleepovery, but she's never, I mean, that's kind of the theme of Serena. She's never saying much,
but she's never saying much.
At the same time, so much.
At the same time, saying everything.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why everyone loves her.
You can say things, but it's what's unsaid that speaks volumes.
Exactly.
And she leaves a lot of things unsaid, which is her strength.
She does, except for her skill at Guitar Hero, which we will get into in a bit. But boy, she won't let you forget that.
So I was upset that they didn't give this party a name, like Night in Tangiers.
So true. They missed opportunity. Maybe they did and they took it out because it was culturally insensitive.
I mean, what stopped them before? I mean, they literally had the Minions in like Sailor Moon outfits.
Yeah. So this was a potentially culturally insensitive Japanese themed birthday. There were geisha waitresses and sushi, which, I mean, sushi at a birthday party, that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
They had them rolling right in front of you. Honestly, that, I was like, I want to do that.
But I loved the, like, it was like a real, like, kind of Anthony Bourdain, like, rock and roll montage of the guys making sushi, too. Like, yeah. They kept, like, zooming in on the wooden boards and, like, the wasabi getting, like, smushed up. And I was like, oh my that God, works. Like, yum.
Yeah, that really. And they, most important, the centerpiece of the party was Giant Guitar Hero.
Which yes. fit in nicely with the rest of the theme.
Of course, yes.
I going back to the minions though, I saw them because they're like kind of the first people you see in the party, and I'm like, oh, it's like a costume party, and it pans to the rest of the room and no one else is dressed up in any sort of way.
No.
You know, life is a costume party for those two.
Well, this is the second episode in three episodes that we have seen the two of them in identical outfits, because at the masquerade ball they're in matching, like, or was it that? No, it wasn't the masquerade ball. It was the prep for the masquerade ball. They're in identical gold outfits with pink ribbons. And that's never really explained because it wasn't what they wore.
I think they're in matching outfits at the masquerade ball, too.
Oh, my God. These two?
These two.
Imagine not having any identity whatsoever.
Their shared identity is Blair's friend. And, you know, I find that beautiful, their devotion to a single cause.
Okay, also, one thing I should have put in the best line read, but like, it's too quick to put it in. One of them's name is Katie Zhang. Okay. I swear on God, and I rewound it three times, Serena said, Kati, how are you? Kati.
Okay. I feel like I heard that too. I didn't so much do research into the names, but I do feel like I remember hearing Kati.
That is so good.
Her name's Katie.
Okay, and I bet that was a mistake that Blake Lively did, but I really think that could be something that Serena would do, is like not really know her name.
Well, like, why not default to a name that you know people have instead of Kati?
That's a good point.
She like Portuguese? No.
That you know people have. Oh, that's good stuff.
Oh my God. What a choice. So what else happens? So I guess Chuck and Blair are still being like sexy on balconies. Mm-hmm. And they make this kind of like what you've written down is a Shakespearean bet. That's funny.
Oh, Shakespearean.
If Nate calls it, if Nate calls at midnight to wish her happy birthday, Chuck will leave her alone forever.
And if he doesn't, she has to fuck him. I'm trying to, why did I say Shakespearean? There is something very like, I don't know.
It's very, at the stroke of midnight, you will turn into a pumpkin. Or wait, no, wait, that's all that happens in Cinderella. Like, it all, the magic will wear off or whatever, and then you have to fuck Chuck instead of, like, yeah.
Okay.
I think you can't just Cinderella.
Okay, I'm going to look up later bets in Shakespeare's plays, because there has to be something behind that thought, but maybe there's not. Surely there's some gambling with people's love lives.
Oh, absolutely. Like Much Ado About Nothing. There's sort of right. a bet that like you can bring. I think the bet in that is like you bring unfuckable people to a party.
Sure.
Sure. But that's kind of what's happening here. Not, I mean, Nate, I sorry to Mike, but I think Nate's kind of unfuckable. So.
Wow. You really said it. And now you said it.
His vibe is so floppy to me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, unfuckable is a harsh word.
He's not like ugly. He's more of a blank canvas as a brain.
Okay, can I revise my previous word to impotent then instead of unfuckable?
Impotent's better. Impotent makes more sense. But Blake loses the Shakespearean bet and is like totally heartbroken, runs away from her birthday cake, and then sees on Gossip Girl that Nate is hugging another lady, a mysterious blonde lady. More on that later. Wait, what
some
were
you? Skank.
What'd you say?
Some skank.
Is that what? Wait, do they say that?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Oh, how did I miss that?
I miss skank culture so much, by the way, that it's like the best word and no one uses it anymore. I guess it's mean too, but
I
that's.
feel like we need to reclaim it.
We should.
People love reclaiming things. Why not skank?
You heard it
Why
here
not?
first.
Yeah.
Gonna do it. I before we go into Chuck, I need to call out a line read that didn't make the final segment, or maybe it did. No, it didn't. Blair says he isn't cheating. We broke up, okay? Another one that's played in the last week-ons that is near and dear to my heart.
Oh, Leighton Meester is so good at delivering these. Like, she can do the soap opera lines so well, way better than the parents can.
She's a star at heart.
She is.
A star in every way.
Should we move on to Chuck?
Yeah, I'm revising my grade. I saw your B, Drew, and I'm forced to agree after further reflection.
Yeah, he got a B for Bay for me this week because he was a sweetie. He was like very sexy to me for once, and I was just like, damn, like you're adding a dose of like harmless sexual intrigue into the proceedings here, and you blew out her birthday cake candles. Like, what a nice sweet guy.
I love him. I feel like getting the Tiffany's necklace for Blair was the cherry on top. This is why we love him. Or
Give him.
him and no one else.
I agree with what you guys are saying, and like also that he just didn't have as predatory of a vibe this time. Like slightly, he was skewing a little more endearing. And I would say B is a fair grading.
Yeah. Though, I mean, there is sort of a threatening vibe in pulling up in a limo outside of a church to intimidate the woman that
That's
you
why
just.
he didn't get the A. He was a bit too scary to get the A.
But it was up from there.
But it was all uphill. But I will say he is kind of dishonest with his best friend Nate. He says, like, if you're done with Blair, be done. I care about three things: the pleasures money brings me and you. And clearly he just wants Nate to end things with Blair because of his own love of that woman.
Yeah. I did also like Nate saying, "What happened to tap that Chuck?"
Wait, does he say tap that Chuck? No, he doesn't. I think he says, "What happened to my boy? Tap that ass."
Oh, maybe you're right.
Tap that Chuck. I like tap that Chuck though. I like that.
Yeah, maybe I misheard. Maybe I just was watching like another language translation or something. It was that whole scene was like, if I were Nate, I would have been like, who body snatched you? And why are you giving me like reasonable human advice here?
You would say, what happened to tap that Chuck?
I thought this scene of him on the balcony, though, admitting that like he hasn't been able to sleep and that he gets butterflies, that Blair tells him to kill. It was like the best example of these two characters, like wit and sparkle with each other, which I think is the best part of the show.
Absolutely. Yeah, I completely agree. She asks him, like, do you like me? And he says, define like, which is another classic Chuck line, I fear. And Chuck basically tells Blair that Nate is using her to help his family and like usher the deal between Eleanor and his dad. And Blair doesn't want to believe him, and that's when they do the bet, the aforementioned bet.
the line that precedes the butterflies comment, though, she's like, as you know, I'm a lover of all of God's animals or something like that.
Right, but I'm going to need you to kill those or murder those butterflies.
Oh my God.
Good. Yeah, she really is. She always is. That's my real. And as we said, Blair loses the bet, and Chuck comes to collect his prize, quote unquote, and shows her the necklace he got her off the Tiffany registry. And they do indeed hook up.
That Chuck is back.
Not that Chuck is back. And we'll get into who walks in on them in a few characters. I think we should go into Nate next.
Yeah.
Right.
God, yeah. Nate for me was a C+, I guess, because he sort of got his groove back a little bit. Like, he's definitely not the sad sack we've seen, but he's just too mopey for me to ever really get on board with any of his general deal, and his family life is crumbling at the sea. He gets a C+ for crumbling plus this week for me.
Is crumbling plus. I cannot deal with him. I'm changing my grade again to match yours, Drew.
Oh my God.
Sorry.
Plagiarism.
I'm copying your work.
If these kids ever went to school, they would have a plagiarism plot line.
That's a really good point.
Well, they didn't so much care about plagiarism back then, though. It was kind of just like, as long as you changed a little bit.
Oh, true. They're
offering their stuff through that. What's that website?
There's like plagiarism checker something.
It was something really great. We had to upload our high school papers in there. I remember that so vividly. They would like slash out a lot of stuff in red, and you'd be like, oh my God, like whose paper did I accidentally copy? And then it would be like 98%, you're fine. And I was like, okay.
Oh God, that thing, just hearing that gives me anxiety.
Yeah.
Did not like that thing.
Thank God we're only stealing other people's grades here on this podcast and not anyone's thought. We're original thinkers for sure.
Thank the fucking Lord.
What was your grade, Mike?
I would say like a C plus. Honestly, I would even go lower, despite my aforementioned support of said character. He was definitely flopping a lot this episode. I will give him credit for being in the midst of a large family crisis, which he's being dragged into and kind of being played a pawn in. I would say he's persevering throughout that, which is admirable.
Completely.
Yeah, especially because his dad is like, I mean, his dad is still on coke or something, because the gall to say that posting $1 million on bail and being arrested for embezzlement, period, and fraud is, and saying it's all a misunderstanding, like, that's fucking delusional. Like, are you crazy?
And getting mad when he was like, what about, like, what would I forget the word, like, agreement situation, what would that look like? He's like, we're a settlement. He's like, we're not settling. I love this.
Okay.
Great. Next up. Also, the mom is, like, startling. Her, I feel like she's actually microdosing coke, whereas, like, Captain's in the bathroom, like, rallying lines, where she's, like, just microdosing throughout, and she just has this, like, menacing stare.
Yeah, I feel like she has that surgery that some people get, where your eyes are widened.
Oh, like the Ramona Singer surgery.
Yeah, she certainly has that.
Yeah, if my parents were like that, I would probably be moping around outdoors in Manhattan, too.
That's
in
good.
The wee hours of the night.
Yeah. I think one thing that I just cannot really get into with this plot line, though, is the idea that this ugly ass ring is going to like seal any sort of professional and personal relationship between the Archibalds and the Waldorfs, which I guess is cokehead thinking, but yeah. I like that ring is not pretty, right?
It's fun. It's definitely something. His mom is telling him to get back together with Blair because the family needs him and Eleanor. And he calls Blair to get back together with her because he's a pussy.
But to be fair to him, she's also like, well, we do have a lot of history, like, and the only reason she considers getting back together with him is because, like, the idea of actually seriously dating Chuck is just so societally unacceptable that...
They have made it that way.
Yeah.
I feel like they're putting a lot of faith into the power that Blair has on swaying Eleanor in her business pursuits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like they have a great relationship and all, but I don't so much see Eleanor turning to her for professional advice.
And I would argue they don't have a great relationship in this in first season. Like her daughter, like is like a pig person to her, like a total freak
heifer. It's a heifer in her eyes. It's completely cokehead thinking, cokehead logic. I don't know. I love Blair thanking, literally thanking God after she gets that phone call. And then calling up Tiffany's and seeing which items were picked up from her little registry.
Love Only it.
Later find out that Nate's the one who purchased it. And then we have the... Nate Jenny storyline.
Oh, brother.
Nate is on his way to Blair's birthday party to give her the ugly ring and then runs into Jenny, who is on her way to deliver an I'm sorry card to Blair. I think there was a falling out there, but Jenny and Nate take a walk instead of going into the party, which I don't know. I'm not buying that little friendship.
Yeah, so take a walk for about 4 to 7 hours or so.
Really long walk. I'm not sure what they talk about the whole time. I don't think either of them have much to say based on the show.
No, and like the whole premise of the walk too is like he's still sorry that he accidentally kissed her and spilled the beans about Serena. But now we're getting planting the seeds of this kind of like Nate Jenny like interpersonal connection, and I'm like, okay, like
I need to do this. Also, like, can we move on from that?
Yeah.
Also, it accidentally causes another situation just like it when he's papped by a Gossip Girl hugging her, the mystery blonde. It's like, can we stop? Can we stop with the mystery blondes kissing Nate or hugging Nate?
And also, it's really not that mysterious. Like, when in doubt, the blonde is Jenny. There are two blonde people on this show, and one of them is Jenny. And you know, like, Serena is playing Guitar Hero. You can see her. Just assume it's...
When in doubt, the blonde is Jenny.
In the Gossip Girl cinematic universe, there are only two blonde people in all of Manhattan.
Well, three.
Actually, the greater.
For Lily. Lily.
Mercifully absent from this episode.
Yeah, seriously, they spared her. Should we move on to Dan?
Yeah. I gave him a D.
I'm gonna have to again copy your homework and give him a D as well. Sorry.
No, it's okay. I think we can universally agree this what he was a dud this episode.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I really hate this whole storyline about Dan and Serena making out wherever they go and Vanessa feeling awkward. I don't care. It's cringe. I don't know. I'm cringing.
They're completely full on making out. Like nearly getting under the clothes, approximately 11 a.m. at a near empty coffee shop.
Yes, where Vanessa happens to be working. How did they not realize that there are four people in this coffee shop? It is Serena, Dan, a barista, and Vanessa as a barista. How do you not notice that one of the four people in this coffee shop is Serena?
And the only two people talking are the barista and Vanessa. So they, Dan and Serena can hear them.
Not only that, the counter is directly facing the front of shops. So she would have been like glaring at them over the muffins for like 5 minutes before they decided to. She decided to confront them. She was like, "You will not fuck in this coffee shop. I have to intervene."
Oh, I don't know what we're missing. I don't know how they snuck in the front door without maybe ringing a bell or getting Vanessa's attention at all. But she turns around and there they are making out. And then sorry, go ahead.
I think they were actually airdropped into the coffee establishment. So Vanessa wasn't able to see them right away. And at the time she does notice them, she is so compelled to say, "This is a coffee shop of God and you cannot be doing that sort of stuff here."
Absolutely. I mean, she basically tells Serena that she knows that they fucked. I don't know. They it was weird back and forth where she's like, "Oh, I have no idea what you did last night." Ha ha ha.
But if you did do something, that's okay.
Yeah, and if you didn't, that's okay too. And then she says, "So you didn't do it?" I mean, I don't know. What is wrong with this girl?
What is wrong with? I mean, we are not even in the Vanessa section right now, but like her inexplicable behavior just spills over everywhere.
Yeah.
I did like the acknowledgement that Dan's apartments, that like the whole Humphrey family is aware that there are no walls. This was important to me that they recognize this.
Correct. Dan comes home and more on this later, but walks in on Jenny, Rufus, and Rufus's wife eating waffles. And it comes out that, let me get this straight. Jenny found out that Rufus's wife was cheating because she overheard Dan and Rufus talking about it. And Dan overheard Rufus talking about it on the phone with his wife. And so Dan recognizes, he says, "If you want to keep secrets, maybe we should abandon the loft and move to a place with more walls," which is honestly a great idea for these fucking people.
It's the only good idea he has in the episode.
I've not met a family with more eavesdropping problems. They're constantly overhearing and being overheard.
Because they don't have walls.
Exactly. They have no walls and they have no boundaries.
They're always like, and it's not even in the house too, like Jenny's overhearing secrets at the masquerade. Yes. And like, you know who, Dan is also acting like a real looky-loo all over the city in other capacities.
One thing I wrote down about the apartment is that it has very strong like Webkinz vibes. I don't know if you guys ever were familiar with the computer-based game.
I need you to explain.
There's like something about like in the game you like have like a home. It's kind of like your pets, and there's something about the way that you like curate the items in your apartment. They're like just also like random and different, but they ultimately are all like a set of different types of furniture. So there's like a bunch of different kinds of like couches and like tables, and you just get these random like themes going on throughout. And there's just something about that apartment that has the same exact energy, especially in more eating focused spaces, such as like near that dining room table. Like they have like a literal booth, like a restaurant booth at the dining room table.
I love this. I love this.
And
that
booth is something you would pay like 7,500 like web coins or whatever.
That is genius. I love that.
That's so funny.
They use a dartboard as a lazy Susan. That's sad.
I also wrote down, this is the biggest apartment in all of Brooklyn. There's just so much space. They're always panning to another room, another corner of this apartment. It's the full map of the apartment has not yet loaded at this point in the show.
Truly. And they're all, I think it's supposed to be in Dumbo, which is, as you know, not a cheap place to live. But they're always asking like they're really like slumming it. So I don't know. I mean, it's very easy to feel like you're slumming it when you're comparing yourself to rich New Yorkers, but
And
I
of
don't
course, if you don't have walls, you don't have basic
know.
infrastructural housing. So, like, I can see how that would create a class complex as well.
In that sense, they are kind of slumming due to the lack of walls.
Due to the giant like garage door in the
That never closes.
No, and that's $15,000 Wendberg points. Like, that's a.
That is actually you need to unlock a few other items to the garage door.
The idea of them, like, you know how in Webkinz and Sims, like, a house is shown as a cross section and you can't actually see the ceiling because you wouldn't be able to see it in the house. I bet their place is like that too. Like, if you took a bird's eye view.
Oh, if it rains, it's just raining inside. That's
And
how
Jenny's
these
like,
walls
we
are
gotta
made
get
of.
them. Get the bucket again.
All right, you know what I'm doing? I'm sending Dan to the bathroom and removing the door.
And the idea, like, you look at the fire escape and then Vanessa is out there. That's like an unlockable character. Let her in.
She's gonna die out there on her own.
I would absolutely play Sims expansion pack, Humphrey's Brooklyn or
Locked.
Humphrey Lofts.
Oh my God. That's an astute observation.
That was really good.
Thank you.
I mean, now that we're on the Sims kick, can we talk about Dan's like messenger ass bag at this party? He assumed that you would dress in a Brooklyn kind of way. If you go to the Brooklyn expansion pack for clothing, I think they have this messenger bag.
It's actually part of the expansion pack that you get when you download Roni Season 1, Alex McCord's husband, Simon, I forget his last name, Simon, what?
Van Kempen.
Van Kempen. It's part of the Simon Van Kempen.
I love him carrying this ugly messenger bag to Blair's birthday party. Like, come on, have a little class, man. Like, just get your wallet, put it in your pocket, and call it a day. What do you need that's in there? Your books? I don't
I
know.
would love to see what's in his bag. What's in your bag? Reveal
Oh,
him.
yeah.
What do we think? I mean, I think we have definitely some books, maybe a journal and a pencil.
Oh, loose pencils everywhere. Like, the whole inside of that bag is like filthy with graphite.
Oh, for sure.
There's seven different broken pencils
Ugh.
in addition to the ones that are still intact.
He just hasn't cleared it out yet. And maybe like a pair of socks for some reason.
Oh yeah, definitely socks, like maybe gloves, fingerless gloves.
Three
Napkins.
napkins.
On the go, off the go tip.
Orange. I think an orange.
Oh yeah. Oh my God. That was unfortunately my vibe in high school so badly. I always had a loose orange in my back.
I mean, sometimes you that sometimes those are the that's what you're dealing with.
Vitamin C on the go. Like,
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
sometimes that's exactly what you need.
exactly.
Oh my God.
It actually seems like you need that right now, given your current health situation.
I do. I have a sack full of clementines in my fridge right now, so I will be treating myself to an ice cold clementine after this. Vanessa also once again was dressed like JoJo Siwa. We do have to.
Yeah, and accompanied Dan to the birthday party for some fucking reason. I before we move on to Serena, we need to point out Dan's going in and out of a New York accent. He There's this whole thing with Vanessa and Serena that we will get into. There's like some jealousy going on, and Dan says to
Serena, this whole girlfriend, I can't do a Brooklyn accent, but he's like, this whole girlfriend thing is very new to me. I was like, what? Since when are you Holly G? I don't know. I did like, there's he, Serena and Jenny have their kind of strange line read accents, and then Dan slips into hardcore New Yorker mode.
I have to imagine the showrunners were like, you guys can do one big choice an episode.
I love that.
Yeah.
Really hope so.
Well, I know what Serena's big choice was because you have it listed as the first bullet on our doc right here, which...
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
You're going to have to say it. I gave her a B+ basically for this alone, though.
I gave her... I'm doing it again. I'm going to change my grade to a B. I gave her a C for some reason, but I think she definitely deserves a B. But basically, as far as I'm concerned, her first line of the episode, she's has other lines before this, but they don't matter, is when she receives sushi from the chef at Blair's party. She, without missing a beat, replies, arigato gozaimasu.
Of course she does.
It was shocking in a way that I really can't articulate. It just...
I mean, and so not. You know, that's exactly... Because, of course... I mean, I not to say that's a crazy way to respond. That's, you know, that is the correct way to respond. And she kind of has the appropriate accent, but I...
Kinda.
But it's sort of like she would. You know, like, okay, you're well traveled. Like, there's something very that about it.
It's very child of the world vibes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She is a global citizen.
Global citizen, for sure.
So, we thank God that we had Tyler McCall on a few weeks ago to spill the tea that the only reason Guitar Hero is in this episode is because Blake Lively was really good at Guitar Hero and wanted... No, this is a true fact. The entire reason this is in here is because Blake Lively wants to play Guitar Hero on TV.
That's okay. So funny.
But I have, like, mixed... I'm not so sure. I believe her, and I believe that was reported. But I'm like, are they just trying to make it less obvious that it is product placement? Like, was Blake Lively really on the set being like, come on, like, look how good I am. Like, I don't know. I mean,
please let me rock out.
I don't know. I mean, all I'll say is, like, they show her rocking out and they show her hitting some buttons. But I would think if she was really like excelled at Guitar Hero, we would see a more detailed shot. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know how they could have done so much more. I mean, like, I get what you're saying. Because, like, if she is so good at Guitar Hero that they had to put this in, like, maybe make it a little more compelling. But at the same time, it would have been, like, YouTube tutorial vibes if we're just, like, showing her. They had, like, a two-shot situation.
It's a TV show at the end of the day. Yeah.
She also picked an 11-minute song to do too. Like, we only could see so much of this. Like, picking Freebird for Guitar Hero at a birthday party is a wild choice.
She was so moved by the Lynyrd Skynyrd, you could just, like, feel it coursing through her body.
Yeah, I don't know. She does this whole montage where she's playing Freebird, and I wrote here that, like, Blake Lively being so good at Guitar Hero, quote unquote, is kind of feels like when like a pretty girl makes a joke and everyone's like, oh my god, she's so funny. Like, I bet she's fine. I don't know. See, I don't know why I'm going on this campaign against Blake Lively being good at Guitar Hero, actually.
I mean, it's... The thing that I thought was weird is, like, they don't show her and Vanessa really playing. They just, like, show their song ending and then Vanessa being like, oh, like, I got you, whatever, whatever. they also like they could like to your point, they don't aren't necessarily playing. Like what's on TV could just be like a video and they're just like
tapping the guitar. Which is why we did the YouTube tutorial version. Yes,
you guys are really taking the bounce out of my bungee here. I would love to think that Blake Lively is an excellent Guitar Hero player. I will say, regardless of ability, the hair flip that she does when she finishes Free Bird, she like throws her whole body one way, her whole body the other way, and turns around and twirls and like does like the Tawny Katane like woo 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 like hair lasso. I was blown away. Sumptuous.
Yeah, she rocks. In certain ways, she rocks in certain ways.
Yeah, I think that's a very measured, fair thing to say, and I appreciate you reaching across the aisle and being diplomatic.
So much. I love her running away when she finds out that Dan told Vanessa and did not tell her that his mom came back. It just seemed a bit dramatic, like to pull the "Will you excuse me?" Like, okay. I mean, I don't know. Didn't that just happen?
This was completely outsized, but I also love it when she gets into full like "Will you excuse me?" mode.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like they just like hadn't seen each other. Like he actually just hasn't had the opportunity to share it. And she's like, I wanted to be the one you tell things to first.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, which I get, but it just seemed a bit like kind of a random place to pick this battle. And there are other reasons to be miffed about the relationship he has with Vanessa. This seems so odd and immediate, her reaction to it. But of course they get over it, and Serena and Vanessa have like this bonding moment. And I wrote here that Serena has this very like Senorita awesome monologue. She goes, "Look, I just don't want to have to compete with you, Vanessa." Oh, wait, no. Okay. She's saying this to Dan. "Look, I just don't want to have to compete with Vanessa. With Guitar Hero, okay, I'm way more awesome if you didn't happen to notice. But, not with you." I screamed.
Yeah. She's way more awesome at Guitar Hero. And then she famously mentions it again.
In her conversation, her bonding conversation with Vanessa. When she says, like, "Oh, like, you want to get, you want your ass whooped again?" She doesn't say that, but she says, she mentions her quote unquote superior Guitar Hero skills. Like, "Girl, ooh, sorry, I just found a spider on my bed."
Oh, no.
Ew.
Okay, it's fine. It was a really tiny one, but I didn't.
Only in New York.
Only in New York. Jesus Christ.
In the words of Blair, you got to murder that spider.
Oh, I did. That was really unsettling. It's okay. You know what? We're living in the wilderness. It's camping. Anyway, I just find Serena's dedication to Guitar Hero interesting. And I don't know.
We never see it again.
And we never see it again.
It would have been so much funnier if they had made her like really good at Wii bowling. Guitar Hero.
I think that would be way less cool. Not that this is ever cool, but
they play Wii Fit and
she's really
like Wii Sports Resort. She has the top score on all of the different activities.
Oh my god. She's like flying the plane through the rings.
the jousting thing.
Oh my god. What a game. I played saxophone in high school, and I used to this is a bad story. Maybe I should cut this out, but I used to be able to play the little riff that when you weigh yourself on Wii Fit, if it tells you you're overweight.
What?
So outrageous and like obviously could not fly today, but Wii Fit When you were like above your weight target on WeFit, it used to say wah 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 wah.
That is crazy. What was the noise for okay weight range?
Don't remember because that is just simply not as like just imp like impossibly shocking. Literal like wah wah music like
Okay, I'm
elephant
looking
music.
up. Okay,
The sound if you were under was slay skinny queen.
Or it was like fashion model like runway music.
Cover girl. That face in your walk.
Well, like RuPaul like comes out of the TV to escort you. Like, no, are you fine? Are you trying to find the music genre?
Yes, I
This
am.
is so important.
I am trying to find it.
Oh my God.
I wow. Okay, no. Well, I'll do this later, but I need to find it.
We're gonna have to source this for a TikTok, probably.
That is so fucked up. God, no wonder people were bullied. Anyway.
Speaking of looky-loo behavior, though, the episode, the cliffhanger ends with Serena seeing Blair and Chuck make out on the bed, like very conspicuously, though, because her hair is so big and like she's not that far away from them.
Her hair is so big, she is not that far away from them. I this again, it goes back to the overhearing, the overseeing, the walking in on that the show is obsessed with. Let's move on. We have only have a few more people to
Yeah, we
get
can
through.
breeze through these
So
people.
Jenny, we both put C for Jenny. What'd you give her, Mike?
I would say. So I guess, yeah, I guess, I don't know. She's not like so important in this episode.
Yeah.
I also like, I'm freestyling all these ratings. They're all off the cuff. I didn't see what it's me.
Now it's good to we do this based on vibes.
Yeah, she's like not so in the episode aside from like ushering in her mother and then going on a 19-hour date with Nate Archibald outside and
A friendship walk.
Sure.
Yeah, no, I she brings mommy back from upstate, like trying to pull a parent trap. I don't know. It's all I really hate this plot line. I hate most things having to do with Rufus. He grinds my gears, that man.
Yes, 1000%. I will say a highlight for me. It clicked to me this episode. That Jenny Humphrey and Taylor Momsen, I guess by extension, is kind of in the Jenny.
Oh, yes, of course.
Because her voice, when she makes these weird little accent choices, sounds exactly like Whitney Rose and Katie Maloney.
Yes, that's a really good point. I mean, okay, what was it this episode?
I'm glad you wrote this down because it was like, I heard about your dad.
I'm sorry. Like, it was very robotic, yet. Yeah, very Whitney Rose. I heard about your dad. I'm sorry. I don't know what it just every few lines, Jenny's little quirks come out, her vocal quirks.
And I just want to reiterate to the listeners, Julia and I are from Potomac, much like Taylor Momsen. We don't talk like that. Like, we
No.
don't know where this is coming from.
I think it's just being an actor and sort of knowing your lines, and then sometimes you say the line and it comes out weird.
Sometimes it comes out Eastern European.
Exactly. But the brain is still like processing what needs to be said. Like that sometimes happens to me when I'm talking, and I'm sure both of you. But
So
you not.
Rufus, I mean, Rufus is kind of like a perpetual F for me, but I do want to call out Rufus's wife is played somewhat iconically by Susan Meisner, who is somewhat iconically Pop in Cell Block Tango in Chicago. And the like pop.
Oh, no way.
Lipschitz, she's pop.
Okay, well, she's not giving pop. And
she's not.
Oh my gosh. She is. That.
She's like, there's no.
That woman doesn't move her face, and not in a Botox way. In a, there's nothing going on. Like,
nothing.
Mouth hardly moves when she talks.
No, and for like a classically trained dancer, she's very stiff on screen.
I would agree with that. She's pretty stiff.
So. They're like, no, go on.
One thing about Rufus that I did love was his, it's very reminiscent of the times, his triple wrapped leather bracelet situation going on.
He's obsessed with that.
He does it. He does leather chokers sometimes too. Can Mike, do you find Rufus hot?
Not really. Like, okay. I can see he's not like ugly, but like, I'm not like yearning.
I'm certainly not yearning.
It's not ugly, but I'm not yearning. That's the dichotomy.
Right.
I don't know.
Two things can be true.
Yeah.
I would kick him out of bed, as the saying goes. I would kick him out of my house. I don't like that man. I don't like that man's face.
It sounds like you just wouldn't let him into the bed in the first place.
No, you're right. I don't know how it would get that far.
What if he breaks in?
Oh my god.
Breaks in on the virus.
I'm imagining him taking off all of his leather bracelets and chokers and putting them in your like key ring bowl in front hall. And then you're like,
it also takes him 10 minutes to take everything off.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they need to do that. They need a scene of him preparing for bed, his pre-bed routine. Taking off his, it's like, never mind.
He's at like Folsom Street Fair. He's like geared up with leather.
I was going to say something and now I can't remember.
Like gauze?
No, there's.
Like preparing for battle?
No. I'll. Fuck, the words are escaping me. It's okay. It'll come back. It'll come to me at some point.
Last guess, mummy. I'm just going off of the gestures you were making.
You're like unwinding leather. Like you're in like the tannery right
now. Okay, all right. I needed to get it right. As I mentioned, I am Jewish and I know what this is. It was just escaping my mind. I was going to say it's like tefillin, which is like, do you know when you see Orthodox Jews wrapping like.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Anyway, it's like tefillin.
I never would have found those words.
I'm sorry to my fellow Jews listening right now. I know what tefillin is. I'm, anyway, and I hope that's not offensive. Love you guys. I find Rufus, I don't know. I find him very unbecoming.
Spiritually jarring.
Yeah, spiritually jarring.
Yeah.
I think we can move on from Rufus. Oh, right. So I guess they're like sort of back together, he and his wife.
Yeah, they like fuck in the hallway outside of her apartment. And Jenny comes home like in the moonlight, seeing them on the floor. And they're like, oh, hi, Jenny. And she's like, as you were, which is like disgusting.
Ew, no one would said anything about like raw dog sex. There's no...
Like, what 14-year-old girl would, like, see that and not be, like, not want to jump out a window? I'm sorry. This is a weird family.
No, I thought it was, she just walked in on them, like, sitting there, right? I didn't think.
Yeah, but it wasn't, like, in their apartment. It was, like, outside. Like, I didn't think they were on the couch.
No, it was inside.
They're on the floor.
They are on the floor. That's a good point, but.
They're in the living room / bedroom / kitchen /
Exactly. They're in the open concept area.
They're on the slide that you can buy 25,000 web coins that you can put in your living room.
They're inside of the apartment continuum.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I thought Jenny was being a little strange. I mean, she's obviously very happy. She can hardly hide her unbridled joy that they are back together. But Yeah, I don't know. We'll see how this unravels, much like Rufus's to fill in.
We'll be on the edge of our seats.
So Vanessa.
D. It's always a D.
Yeah, I guess I'll give her maybe, you know what? Maybe I'll give her a C. I don't know why, but that's the kind of feeling I'm getting. I don't think she was quite a D.
It's a C for cherry pie.
Oh God. Okay. What do you think, Mike?
I would say a C. She really propelled a lot of things to happen in this episode, such as us getting to see Blake Lively's amazing guitar.
In the coffee shop, we mentioned this earlier. She basically tells Serena and Dan that she knows about their fucking, which weird place to start. And then comes into, okay, this is why I gave her a D at first, because she keeps doing these gaffes. Nobody is happy to see her at Blair's party. Like, why are you crashing this girl's birthday party? I'd be a little pissed. And then she's, I guess, redeems herself over Guitar Hero, where she says the most unnaturally delivered line known to man. She says, "Skynyrd is meat and potatoes, but I'm bringing dessert. So what do you say to a slice of cherry pie?" Like,
Was
that didn't come out of your mouth.
it was jarring for the ears to take that one in.
Oh my God, yeah, what do you say to a slice of cherry pie?
I don't know. I say, oh, well, Dan says, "No, please, no." Doing this.
He's like, don't give them the pie, they're not ready.
Yeah,
Ugh.
it feels like he's doing like a dad joke, anti-80s music thing that isn't
No,
working.
these guys have disgusting chemistry. I like.
They are. You know what they are? You know what they are? They are Brooklyn, Tom, and Joe. Tom
Oh my
Schwartz.
God.
Mike, do you watch Vanderpump?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I can see that.
they're doing clown work.
doing physical comedy, and I don't know what these quirky kids are up to,
Oh
but
my God.
should we? I don't even think we need to do. I didn't have anything down for Gossip Girl as a character, no grade, but I did write down one line that
Yes,
made me laugh.
please.
She says, "Careful, B. There's no safe wager when you bet on a bass. You just might lose your shirt and pants." I mean, no further comment. And pants. You said
Not only the shirt, but also the pants.
embezzlement and fraud.
exactly. It was embezzlement and fraud. What is what's going on in the writer's room? I don't know, but
It's also like I'm thinking about Chuck just like he's like impishly like being like like stealing people's pants. Like there's nothing sexy about pants.
and your pants.
That's how he's amassed his fortune.
Yes, by stealing and reselling pants.
On Depop.
Oh God.
And grailed.
These guys wouldn't know a Depop sale if it bit them on the ass. All
Make
right.
Jenny.
Wait, yeah.
Jenny's such a deep.
That's a good point. Jenny would be. Serena, I could see her on the real, maybe.
She knows about it. She's selling. She's not so much.
Maybe she's having her assistant sell stuff for her.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And Vanessa's on Poshmark.
Yeah, I was just gonna say
Vanessa's on Poshmark.
Vanessa's on Poshmark and has an Etsy store
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
selling weird charms.
Yeah, she's like making like plastic charm bracelets for $95.
That's it.
She's making the Rufus's leather wrap bracelets.
Yeah. Yes, and they're ugly.
And they're ugly.
Perfect. My needle drop of the week was Freebird, which is just crazy. Julia, did you have anything for this?
Yeah, I like Rich Girls by the Virgins playing on Nate's Juke phone. Really great. Love that song. I first heard it on Gossip Girl, and became obsessed with it.
I also love that scene with his mom coming in being like, take out your headphones. She asked like 7 times and then she was like, I've been calling you for 20 minutes.
What is wrong with this son? With this
whole family.
Do you have a needle drop, Mike?
I did write down Freebird also. I was compelled by Serena's performance in that.
Okay, outfit of the week. There were so many good ones.
Honestly. Oh, yeah.
I have mine marked out. It's Blair's church fit through and through.
Yeah.
Good. I mean, the veil. The tiny veil headband. I like to do headband watch, and that little black veil is the headband watch of the week. But I loved her birthday outfit. It was this like amazing Valentino dress, this black tiered tulle number. She looked so adorable, and I don't know, I want that dress.
I wanted Serena's t-shirt dress with the rock studs. Like, I thought she was literally wearing a t-shirt for most of the episode. And then there's a shot of her, I guess when she's running away from Dan. And you see that she's wearing these like clip-clop booties. And it's just a long t-shirt. But I was like, this is A, kind of hideous, but B, like, I love it. It's very Serena. This was looks maxing to me. For sure.
It's because she's experimenting with Brooklyn.
Yeah, she's trying to out Vanessa. But Vanessa will show up dressed like a backup dancer to literally any event. So good luck with that.
That's a great way to put it. To any event. Let's see. Okay, best line read. There's so many. I'm trying to find one I haven't
shown. I have one locked and loaded here.
Okay.
Which is I promised it earlier in the episode, and I did write down Blair's confession verbatim. So, after being broken up with my boyfriend for exactly 20 minutes, I succumbed to inebriation. I performed in a speakeasy and surrendered my virtue to a self-absorbed ass. The only good news is that he's a self-absorbed pig who will act like it never happened. Thank God.
Perfect. So good. Love her. Applause.
And then she apologizes for saying, thank God, as if that's like the bad part of what she just said.
She's a genius.
Oh. I had one, if I may.
Yes.
It was right after Serena and Vanessa were playing guitars. One of the minions says, yeah, you went down harder than Britney at the VMAs.
Oh,
the way she said it's just like,
that's so good. Fuck, that's a good one. Okay, mine's another Blair line that is a line that has stuck with me. When you get a boyfriend, you become the best friend, and the best friend becomes the second best friend. That's just how it has to be if it's ever going to work. Yeah, that's what it is.
Perfect.
That's just a quintessentially Blair line that is also true.
She spelled, for lack of better words.
She did. Wait, I do also want to shout out, the minions did get a lot of lines this week, and I did like it when the Gossip Girl mystery blonde post is revealed. One of them says, I hope he gives her herpes. Cheaters always get herpes. That's so funny to me.
Cool to say that.
I did not really have bully of the week or victim of the week this week, though.
No, I didn't. Nor did I have a cultural recommendation. I feel like I really haven't these past few weeks.
I know. I have one locked and loaded for this. So my XOXO of the week, aka the cultural thing that we want to recommend this week that is not Gossip Girl related, is an album that I think is probably going to be my album of the year when all is said and done. Diamond Jubilee by Cindy Lee. Cindy Lee is the project of Pat Flegel, who was in the band Women that was very popular like 15 years ago. When that band broke up, they started this new side project. It is unbelievable music. If you like things that sounds like Twin Peaks in Beach House, but like way scuzzier and lo-fi. It is unbelievable. You can stream the album solely on YouTube for free, or you can purchase it on GeoCities for wow. $30 Canadian. I cannot recommend it enough. It is a masterpiece. Like one of the best albums I've heard in years. Like no hyperbole. It's fantastic.
Okay, I'm going to act. I have one actually. I have a last minute entry. And it is Peasant Dinner, which is just beans, making yourself a nice bean stew. Tonight I made this New York Times recipe, braised white beans with kale and Parmesan. It was so good. It was so good, served with like a nice sourdough toasted bread. Oh my God, I outdid myself.
Yeah, I need to second that recipe. I've made that exact same bean recipe from the Times Cooking. It is unbelievable.
It's, I mean, I was shocked. Who knew beans could be so meaty?
I've been in my bean era lately, actually. I have some other recipes I can send.
Please do.
I'll definitely try that one.
Yeah.
I have a cultural shout out to include. It's not so much new. But the past weekend, I did rewatch all of Emily in Paris, and
wow,
kind of. I feel like we all need to be revisiting that. It's just kind of like a perfect show, and we need to all be ready for when season 4 inevitably comes out.
I love hearing,
and that's all.
That's all. I mean, I love a controversial fave. Somewhat controversial. It's also like the number one show on Netflix, or was, but.
And we will obviously be watching and supporting Lena Dunham and Lily Collins' Polly Pocket movie when it arrives next year.
Absolutely.
Mike, thank you so much for being here today. This was a real treat.
Yes.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys so much for having me.
Well, if you would like to be found on social media, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at MivelXCX.
Incredible. Yeah.
And nowhere else.
Yeah, you can find us on Twitter at FKAPigs with the Z, and on TikTok at Julia Gray OK. Just a reminder, guys, please leave ratings, reviews, tell your friends, subscribe. It helps the pod a lot.
Every bit helps.
And also, just because someone DM'd me about this, we don't control what our ads are, by the way, so like we're sorry that we love Carvana, but we are sorry that there are so many Carvana ads that are playing right now, so we have no options. So that just is what it is. So a lot of things just are what they are.
Skip through them, come on, what's the problem?
Yeah. Good night, everyone. XOXO.
Girls' room. Kashi, go to the polls.